Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
Yo, yo, check this out. This is your girl, Cola Coke, and I'm chilling with my boys right here on Off the Cuff Radio. We off the cuff right now. You dig?
What's up? It's your boy Lil Yap from UNLV, ragging up from the river, cooling with my homies and my family at Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all be sure to tune in on Fridays and get the latest scoop and find out what's happening. You hear me?
Tiffany Levon.
And it's Queen Crazy, your girl, favorite bartender.
And we're from
Sex on the Rocks podcast.
All right, you're now tuning in to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, because they keep representing that world of hip hop. Well, much love.
All right.
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irritation, and you're tuned in to Off the Cuff giving a shout out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey y'all, this is Stacey Lachey giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio.
What's shaking, y'all? This is the Grand, one half of Lost Cause and one third of that Drive Time thing. Sending my love to the homies over at Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in every Friday night for some real deal hip hop conversation. These dudes are the connoisseurs of this thing. You already know what it is. BX Stand Up, Hud City, was shaking. Peace.
Yo, this is Joe Fresh Design, and y'all tuned in to the most raw, untouched show on radio, the Guillotine Team, Off the Cuff, and yo, Eric Sandman, off of these clowns.
Yeah, Snow's Day. It's all about that cream, them RNG boys, real music group. Yeah, you know what it is. It's a strong arm movement. Y'all better get ready, nigga. Yo, real drop that. Today's agenda, yeah, hot, yeah. Cold when it's winter. Woo. Grind on the mind to calm the hunger cries from the inner. Kids gotta eat, so the streets produce my victims. 40 below, black gloves, rat rums the rhythm. Ghost to face, running payments with my mistress. Come off the cash, the jewels, and make it quick, bitch. Hoodie in my trusty one, the score's why I'm in it. Food for the table, clothes to keep my seats warm. So you know I mean business. 9 to 5, no fair ones. 5 to 9, might have to air something. Just in case a nigga really think that I'm playing, son. Don't be brave, hard and get from paid for acting dumb. That New York flow, money on the mind. Murder was the case, hopping out the shadow with the 9. Putting thoughts to the essence. Watch your soul rise, break bread is the ritual. When I'm creeping out from behind, ski mask and gap, like where the payback. Pay for the burn, so you know a nigga counting stacks. I bet a meal, homie, you ain't touching that. I'm like kilos, distributed with government tax. Hit the block hard, like nigga. Hop out the shadows, nigga. You really think that I'm playing? You best come off them jewels. Money is the hunger when the craze in the eyes. Hold the ratchet close, yeah. Bumping, ready to die. Slow walks the grind. Under radar from Po9. Aware the sun is flossing hard with the shine. Hopping out, hoodie and the ratchet. Front tough, get clacked quick. I'm all action, no acting. Love of the dough means jacking while they trapping. All for the love of illegal transactions. I move swift, hold the grip. Like public enemy, remain calm and focused. Hammer ready to squeeze. Jesus, the process, the payments, the murder scene. Calculate the score so my seeds get a chance to breathe. Don't make me cut short your dreams, annihilate your memory. This is New York prophecy, yeah. The return of the great one, the grimy, the gritty, yeah. The streets where I'm from, Long Island, NYC. This is how I get it done, fragments, hits, bones, and arteries. Shooters on deck like hired mercenaries, yeah. Sex come back, I get it on a strong arm. I hit the block with the beam, have you come up off that hitting block hard, like nigga. Hop out the shadows, nigga. You really think that I'm playing?
Put a payback! better come off them jewels.
Where the paper at? Where the paper at? Where the paper at? Where the paper at? Where the paper at?
Episode number 363 at Off the Cuff Radio. I am your host of the evening, King Eric, alongside T-Max with the facts.
What it do, what it do. It's a Friday, once again, off TC in the building. King Eric and myself. Shout out to our co-host, a lot of Sandman, Lady Chinchilla, Soilla, and Spirit. Sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, Jesse's Boutique, Dirty Basement Radio, and Core Financial. Shout out to them. And yeah, King, we got a special, you know, show tonight, man. Another one, another great one that we're about to put in the books.
Yes, sir, man. And also big shout out to MJ for making this happen. And we chose this brother to come on the show because, you know, we see the uprising of New York City, the return of hardcore New York hip hop, and it's a beautiful thing to see. And this brother here, he's in the front lines of that underground movement as well, man. Representing, we're going to the East Coast for this episode, y'all. Let's bring on Snooze Daily, y'all.
Yeah.
Hold on one second.
All right, we're bringing him in. We're bringing him in.
Hold on one second. I got to get this thing connected back on.
All right.
Know how it be sometime with these connections.
Yeah, all gotta right, make sure the tech. Right,
hold on one second. Refresh this. If y'all want to chop it up, the call number is 516-531-9596. If y'all want to call these shout outs, give donations, however y'all want to do it, man. We in the building, Off the Cuff Radio. All right, I think we got him on now. You on, brother?
Yeah, I'm on.
What's going on, man?
You can hear me?
Yeah, we can
hear
you.
Yeah, we had a little, had to fix the connection here, but we good now.
All right, shout out to Peace King. How we doing? Shout out to On the Cuff Radio. Shout out to your brothers for having me. Snooze Daily, Long Island in the building.
Definitely, man. We're happy to have you on, man. Thank you. Yeah, man. So, it's great to have you on, man. So, we get right to it. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what part of Up Top you represent, you know, and about, you know, how you got started in this thing called hip-hop.
Well, the name Snooze Daily was given to me from a family member, you know what I mean? He wanted his own little nickname for himself to give me. But when he called me it, I was like, yo, I'm going to run with that. You know what I mean? So I added the daily for the fact that, you know, coming up under my man Crack Val, you know what I'm saying? Rest in peace to my bro. Coming up under him, he was nice, bro. So he got me started in the game. So a lot of times, you know what I mean, I wasn't even into hip-hop like that. I was a hip-hop fan, but I wasn't into it, like, as far as MC. And my man always pushed me to write a rhyme, so one day he told me to write a rhyme. I wrote a rhyme, you know what I mean? Because in the lunchroom, you know, you bang on the table, he spit, everybody looking at me to go, and I'm like, I can't back that up. I got to get my skills up. So through the years of sparring with him and just working with him, I got to a point where I felt confident, you know what I mean, to be who I am. Of course, you know what I mean, when you're on the track with a dude like my bro, after a while it felt like he was carrying, you know what I mean? So I had to step my game up, master my craft. But he always pushed me, you know what I mean? That was always the drive to get better. So this is what you get now, just the raw. I'm from New York, bro. You know, no disrespect to anybody who do whatever music they do, but I'm from New York. I gotta sound like I'm from New York. No disrespect to nobody, but I'm an MC. I'm a New York MC, so to me, this is what I love. That's why you get the sound you get.
Definitely. What part of NY you rep?
I'm from Roosevelt, New York. I'm from Long Island, bro.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Strong
definitely.
Island. Strong Island.
Yeah, we from the Strong Island part. You know what I mean? We rep. You know what I mean? We got a lot of great MCs that came out of Long Island. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to be one of them dudes to try and carry on the tradition, bro. It's some big shoes to fill, but that's more. That just fuels the drive. You know what I mean?
Man, people better check the track record, man. I mean, y'all got Chuck D coming from out of there, Rakim, MF Doom, Rest.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, man.
So when you think about that, bro, that's some large shoes to fill. So you got to make sure you on your A game. And that's one of the things I take to heart, you know what I mean? Like, the list goes on with the greats. You got EPMD. You got Rakim, like y'all say. Y'all got De La Soul, K-Solo, you know what I mean? So when you start to get to them, you know, them names of great MCs and great artists, you know, for me, I look at my craft like I got to be on my A game to at least even matter.
Definitely. And when you understand the tradition that you carry on, Snooze, in terms of the distinguished alumni that you know, and King aforementioned, one thing about it, especially this day and time, is that New York, you know, because, of course, you wanted to lay it out there that you wanted to bring back that vintage New York sound. You know, over the past few years, New York has been kind of lamented for the fact that, you know, for the trends in terms of most notably Southern hip hop, you know, with the beats in terms of styles of music and even rhyme schemes and patterns and cadences, that New York kind of lost its identity. From that perspective of it, you know, why is it important to you to, in your eyes, maintain the texture, the sound, the gritty, the trademark that is the Big East?
I mean, thinking about it from that aspect, you when you look at the greats that came out of here, like you said, the Chuck D's, the Jay-Z's, the EPMD's, the Rakim's, the Nas, like, they had that cadence. So other people, you know, I mean, they look to those artists as greats. You know, they're pioneers, so for me, it's more carrying on tradition. And for me, it's like, yo, New York was, for me growing up, New York was the mecca of hip hop. You know what I mean?
Right.
Everybody's going to get their chance to shine. But I think it's time for us to start bringing back that sound, that New York sound, that dynamic sound that we had that made New York what it was. You know what I mean? It's nothing, you know, I mean, artists are doing great. I mean, don't get me wrong. A lot of my movements come from the young artists nowadays. Like, I take a page out of their book. I don't knock no artists for doing what they do. But the young boys, they got it to a science. So, you know what I mean? Taking that science that they have and applying it to what I do with my music, that's just the plan. You know what I mean? Plus, this is what I love. I love the culture. You know what I mean? I grew up with my aunt playing Kool Herc tapes. You know what I mean? Growing up and hearing those tapes was, you know, amazing to me. So for that sound, it's just paying homage to all the greats that came before me, and that's the sound I love. So I'm gonna give you music in that form, but I'm gonna make sure that I sound like a New York artist. That's just for me.
Definitely. And, you know, when people look at, you know, this 1520 Cedric Avenue, you know, DJ Kool Herc, you know, the modern-day father of the two-turntable technique, you know, I believe August 11th, you know, 73, I believe, is considered when the, you know, birth year of hip-hop, you know.
But that's what I'm saying, like, as an artist, just knowing the history and, you know, doing the research and, you know, when you don't know something, just doing the research to figure out who's who. You know what I mean? Like, I look at it as without them, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing now. Even, you know what I mean? Even though I love it. But I grew up, you know, I grew up in the mirror emulating them. You know what I mean? And that's what really got me locked into hip hop. So it's only right to pay my, you know, pay my due respect. And I think that's what gets lost in the game sometimes, you know, with everything, the way everything is. But, you know, a lot of young dudes, and I'm not taking nothing from anybody, but I think a lot of young dudes should really, you know the history, know the culture, know why you're able to do what you're able to do. That's all. It'll make it a lot more fun and a lot more easier, too. That's just my opinion, though.
Well, one thing about it, Snooze, is that in you saying that, number one, you know, King and myself, you know, we are so, it's so refreshing to hear that, because we've done hundreds of shows, you know, and we've talked to a lot of artists, you know, yourself, and mm-hmm. we always really, really appreciate, especially up-and-comers like yourself, who really show an appreciation to the forefathers who came, you know. So many times we have a lot of artists come in who are new, who think that because that they are either for bluster, bravado, publicity, or conceit and arrogance, think that they, since they came in and get a little success, that they all of a sudden now are the new wave of hip-hop that gets to dictate where the culture is going to go, and that they are either the best or the most influential to ever do it, without mentioning those that came before them.
I mean, every artist should feel like that. But at the same token, you know what I mean? That's why I said sometimes, you know, it's funny because, I mean, as an artist, that's how you should feel. I mean, that's your product. So if you don't feel that way about your product, then I don't know what you're doing it for. So to feel that way, I get it. But sometimes you got to humble yourself and also know where the opportunity where it came from. You know, and I think that's what gets lost sometimes with artists as far as humbling themselves. You know, you get caught up in so much of being that, you know, just telling yourself you're that dude, which you should tell yourself that every morning. That should be the motivation to be that dude every morning. But at some part, you got to keep it real with yourself and say, you know, I'm still on that road of being that dude. But in my mind state, I'm that dude already. I just got to put it in motion so that way the world know it and the world see it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think when you keep a balance, it becomes just the regular norm. You know what I mean? And that's for me, that's it. I live and breathe this every day. So to easily put my, you know, what my music is, as far as me, it's just basically life turns into bars. You know, the trials and tribulations, the ups and downs, some bumps and bruises. I'm going to give you some party music, but it's going to be a lot of things you can relate to. You know what I mean? And I think basically with the money and the girls and the cars, a lot of times we get lost in that. That material stuff starts to make us feel invincible and untouchable. And, you know, I mean, sometimes...
I think at the end of the day, we've all had, every rapper for the most part, from this thing started, has proclaimed to be the best MC or the flyest MC. I think the difference is between today and that time is that the niggas just saying it now just ain't nice, and they don't even have a catalog. Like, even when Rakim and Slick Rick and all them, they had the flyest jewels and said they were the god MC. I think people more so accepted it because they liked the music. But these guys today, they don't really have the aptitude, but they claim to be the best. So I think that's where the backlash comes so heavy for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I don't think the backlash comes from them, you know. I mean, the music is, I think the popularity of the music comes to the listener. You know, because a lot of these young boys do have a following, so obviously people do like their music. I think the part where they kind of get lost at it with is that, You know what I mean? They start believing a lot of stuff that's in their music and they start acting it out. And then we get, you know, the extra talk and extra toughness and, you know, all of this craziness, and then somebody gets killed with over some nonsense. So to me, I think that's the downfall, you know, for the young era, because, I mean, you think about 2020, I mean, you know, we lost a lot of young, great artists over the streets, just being out there and trying to, I mean, for me, it's more trying to prove a point. And sometimes proving a point could take you down the road you don't need to be on. You know what I mean? I mean, the thing for you to move and do your music is to prove a point for yourself. So when you prove a point to yourself and you be real with yourself, I think the rest of it usually just coincides with that. You know what I mean? Of not having to deal with certain things and just being humble. And the road never, you know, you don't have to deal with the extraness and the nonsense. Because people tend to feel you and know you're not on that path.
You know, and you speak on a great point too, because you know, one thing about it is hip hop being, you know, rooted from a street culture, there's always an intrinsic link between the block and the beat. You know, the raw that inspires the rhyme. And we see a lot of times where a lot of artists who, like you said, tend to try to get caught up, you know, they want to emulate something that they may not totally understand, but all they see is how the attention comes forth. You know, and then, like you said, we've lost some of our soldiers. You know, rest in peace to Pop Smoke last year. You know, of course, Bobby Shmurda a few years back, you know, he got locked up, you know, for his situation. You know, how important is it that artists have to understand that your responsibility, you know, to yourself, the obligation to your business, the understanding of your new role in a profession. How important do artists need to understand that this becomes a job in terms of what provides and is not supposed to be a pitfall at your peril?
Well, I think it comes with the perception of what everybody thinks is tough and what's not tough. You know what I mean? Like, what's smart and what's not smart, you know what I mean? Like, I talk a lot of street stuff in my music, you know what I mean? A little gun talk, a little street talk, but it's not on the play of basically more trying to kill somebody or take somebody out. It's more the situation, like, knowing that, you know, what I'm capable of and I don't have to prove it to nobody. You know, I think a lot of times artists get caught up into proving who they say they are. And, you know, when you do that, there's always going to be somebody that's a badass more than you are. And they really look at it like they ain't got nothing to lose. I look at it like I got shit to lose. So in that case, I'm going to stay true to who I am. I don't need to react now unless it's called for. You know, and most times when people think it's called for, it can be talked out. If it can't be talked out, I'm from the era of throwing your hands. But, I mean, my perception is a lot of cats don't want to throw those hands because we in the era of everybody recording everything. And that's a stain on somebody's rep for the whole rest of their life. That's how they look at it. I don't look at it that way. You know what I mean? I don't have nothing to prove to nobody. I do what I love to do. I handle myself accordingly, and, you know, when it comes down to any drama or anything, I'm going to try and talk to the person as a man and see if we can reach a common ground. We could agree to disagree. We don't have to agree on everything, but, you know, sometimes things can't be talked out. So in that sense, I'm going to try and be the better man and handle it the best way I can, but, I mean, sometimes if it goes down that route, you know, you got to weigh it out. Is it worth it? Because to me, taking a life, you end yours when you take a life. So, nobody wins.
Definitely.
So, I mean, what are we really talking about?
That's deep. That is deep.
Yeah, for me, it's not worth it. Nobody wins. If my thing is, brothers think, you know, oh, I'm gangster if I pop this dude. Okay, you pop him, but now his family's grieving because he's gone. But now your family's grieving because you in jail, so you basically gone. You don't have no ties to the outside world except for what people say. So your life is pretty much over. So basically, you took a life and took your own at the same time. So to me, it's not worth it. I don't see the payout.
You know, and that's real smooth, because a lot of times too, you know, one thing about it is that when you're dealing with it, when shit comes out, and we've seen countless, you know, I won't even mention Biggie and Tupac, of course, because that's always the go-to default argument. But when you look at artists who at one time really had some beef, you know, like when you look at what was going on with, you know, LL and Kool Moe Dee, when you look at it with, I mean, shucks, I mean, even with the Loonies, you know, and Too Short for our Bay Area heads, you know, the Loonies and, you know, Master P, you know, at one time.
I mean,
you know.
But everybody had beef, but no, look, everybody's still alive.
Right,
I mean, you do
right,
get your street
point,
joints
right.
that go on. You do get your little street beefs that go on here and there, and things get out of hand. You know what I mean? But let's be real. I mean, as artists, if I got beef with another artist, our common goal is to make good music and make money. So, I mean, if we can't get it to a point of, you know, we when we see each other, it's got to be some type of war. That to me, it doesn't coincide with anybody but who we sign to, because they're gonna make the ultimate dollar. And then when we are no good no more, we'll both be locked up for all the dumb crap or gone, and they'll still be making money, and then they'll bring the next act in. So to me, it's like, yo, why play that game? You know what I mean? Just like, yo, sometimes I know beef can't be settled with words, or, you know, it's going to get physical. But, I mean, yo, sometimes, you know, you try and take the high road and try and avoid it as much as you can. But if you can't, then you got to, I mean, I'm a type of dude, I got to handle what I got to handle. Because the way I look at it, I got shit to lose. So I'm not my first reaction is not to try and take a life. That's definitely not my first reaction. But when it comes to protecting minds, yeah, I got to. I got to look
and
at it
real.
As I'm protecting minds. But other than
real.
That, nah.
And
over some
really
hip-hop
cool.
beef, like, I'm not trying to kill nobody over no hip-hop beef. You say my name
right.
or whatever and you want to beef, I'll come right back at you. We can make it a friendly sparring session, or we can constantly go with each other's neck. It's not a problem. But once it starts to go off the record and starts to get physical where dudes is trying to kill each other, you know what I mean, then it's went way beyond hip-hop. And at that point, nobody's winning.
And, you know, when you start getting, like you said, once you start getting into situations, we've seen countless examples over the years in terms of when, you know, shots get fired, like in 1995 with the Dogtown trailer being shot at in New York, you know, when they shot the New York video. You know, you have individuals. And one thing about it, Snooze, that you really made a great point about is when you kill somebody, it's one thing about a family grieving. And then after the tears stop falling, then the appetite for revenge comes in. And you never know what you put in motion in terms of, you know, when. I think this is something a lot of artists have to understand in terms of the long terms. Because when you really engage in something that escalates to a violent conflict, and we have seen.
You start.
Look, yeah, we all from the block at some level, so we know what happens when things, you know, spill from a disagreement into somebody dies behind it.
You start involving family members that shouldn't even be involved in some shit
right.
that should have been taken care of. You know what I mean? Prime example, I mean, I know his thing is on a whole nother level, but, you know, the whole 6ix9ine situation to me is, to me, that's clown movements.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You put your whole family at risk for some shit just to look a certain way. You knew you wasn't from over there. You should have knew, you know what I mean? But that, to me, that's a whole different ballgame. You know what I mean? But like I said, again, trying to be who you're not usually get you caught up in some shit. So best thing to do is keep a team of dudes around you that, you know, your aspect, everybody's common goal is to get money and elevate. It shouldn't be nobody trying to, you know, backstab or do anything crazy. Everybody should be thinking about how to get money.
That's always the goal.
And if you keep those type of dudes around you, the less of your problems.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's how I see it. Just keep a good core of people around you. Keep your circle small, and then, you know, just have your circle. Everybody should be focused on getting money. If everybody think positive, negativity ain't even a problem.
That's real.
And you
I
know
mean,
what?
There's
another thing that's
like,
missing
yeah.
in music also is people always want to talk about, like, you know, the violence and the drug dealing and stuff like that, and they make it like it's an excitement adventure. But it's rare occasions where, and you start to slowly see it now, is where you see people talking about the dark side of that situation. Like, what happened when you get busted, or what happened when you get hit? It's not like Carlito's Way, where you hear the music coming down and you get shot. You know what I mean? It's like, when you're done, you're done.
Mm.
So that balance.
Well, you know, everybody praised. It went from praising the shooter to praising the dude who got shot. So people glorify the violence now. I mean, people used to be worried about the shooter. Now they, you know, is worried about the dude who got shot because how much is he going to tell? You know what I mean? And, like, the whole thing is, my dude, like, if you do good business, the best thing to do is do good business. You'll never have to worry about any of that stuff. And just be humble, man. Be a real person. You know what I mean? And just be who you are. I mean, I walk around the streets of my neighborhood. I'm not no crazy ass gangster, but I've done my share of street shit and everything. But people know me, and they know I'm not that dude that's gonna walk around thinking I rule the world. I just be me. Everybody that know me for being me. I'm not gonna change who I am for nobody.
And that's real, man. In terms of what you found on this musical journey, in terms of being so authentic with yourself, from your first stepping in the booth to, you know, to record your rhymes to where you're at now, you know, on the grind, what's it been like in terms of doing shows, you know, interacting with your fans, and just really, you know, like, you know, doing your award tour, you know, just really on that grassroots level? What's it been like?
I mean, it's been fun. It's been a learning process at the same time as, you know, watching some of my plans and moves come to fruition. So it's been fun, you know what I mean? And I'm definitely enjoying the ride, but it's only began. So I'm just, you know, keeping focused on what I gotta do. You know, I'm honored to have a team that I have around me that always make sure I'm on my toes, and they see my vision and help me get there at the same token. So to me, it's really not that hard. The hardest thing is just managing the time, because, you know, I still got to handle real life. So at that point, you know, I handle my real life, make sure my priorities are straight, and then from there, back to the grind. You know what I mean? So the grind don't never stop, bro. It's just the point of, if this is what I'm going to do, I gotta fight for it. So it ain't going to be no one-round knockout. It's going to be a couple rounds. So I'm going to prepare myself now And that way, when I get it to that point where I can do this full time, I'm prepared and mentally ready to go. I mean, I think this whole journey of starting and being at this point now and building it up, if you get yourself prepared and stay focused and, you know, pay attention to the know-how and what got you there, I don't see why you really need a label. You should be able to focus on your own. And that, for me, that's a page out of the Young Boys book. They pretty much took you know, control of their own destiny when it comes to music. We came from an era where we had to be lucky or be in somebody's face 24/7 to get our shot. But they now, with a push of a button, they create their own shot. So, you know, you just got to be focused and diligent in your movements and invest in yourself. That's the main thing. Don't be cheap. If you're gonna do this and do this real, spend the money. Invest in yourself. Promotion, marketing, branding yourself. You got to spend the money. You got to do the footwork, or you got to get a team around you that's going to do, and everybody's going to play their part, and y'all run like an oil machine. That's all.
Okay, Snooze, you just read my mind, because I was going to ask you all of those. I was going to ask you that question next in terms of what artists need to understand in terms of the business aspects of it, you know, because, and also the science and reference, because like you said, you know, back in the day, you know, King and myself, you know, we grew up in that era of Rap City, you know, The Box, you know, Yo MTV Raps, where you saw, you know, artists who got on with the labels, whether big or small, and, you know, you got your video on, and that's how you really started growing your fans. And if you were dope, you know, you were hoping to get an interview with one of those mediums, you know, to really, you know, get people to see you out there. And now with the advent of course, media, shout out to YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, IG, you know, Blog Talk, you know, for facilitating forums like this for us to interview great artists like yourself.
Yeah.
What is it? You know, a lot of artists tend to think, though, that once they get a little bit, and we've seen some artists, you know, with some videos, because, of course, you know, we know in the hood now, the Vogue trend is viral. You know, you do something and the video gets big views. What do artists have to understand about at times that a song that may get a lot of views doesn't always translate to real success in terms of a actual album or big bang or both?
I think basically, I know what you're asking me, but I'm gonna tell you from a perspective of myself.
Go ahead.
I look at artists that get to that point, like they'll have a hit record, it'll start making some traction, and they get lazy. Or they, you know, they start making a little bit of money and they think they made it. You know what I mean? And they lose that hunger. When you lose that hunger, that pretty much is going to hurt you. You know what I mean? I wake up every day and the challenge for me is to write a song better than, you know, my idols that are, as far as MCs that I look up to. You know what I mean? That hunger. So it's got to be a hunger that drives you to do this. It can't be just, you know, if I make it, and I, like, for instance, if I make it and I sell a million records, cool. But that hunger is, okay, I made a million records, but that ain't enough. Jay-Z's a billionaire. 50 Cent is where he's at. So that's going to keep driving me, because it's like, yo, I want to be at that level. As far as lyrically, music-wise. So when it comes to Nas and all that, you push yourself. You know what I mean? And then hearing some of the young dudes, you like, yo, I think I got to keep up with them. So I use them as fuel to drive myself to be better and to make music that people could relate to on that note. You know what I mean? I use everything as competition. It's basically, I use everything that's going on right now that people think is hot. That's what fuels my drive to keep going and trying to make, you know, make something to outdo that. And sometimes it may not happen, but, you know, it's just the point of putting your all into it and leaving it all in the booth. That's how I do it.
Definitely. You know, and I think, like you said, man, a lot of artists really have to understand that this is a marathon, you know. And the biggest mistake that, like you said, Snooze, that a lot of artists make is that they don't always maintain that level of consistency and hunger because they think one song is going to carry them. And one thing they got to understand, you know, the business that King and myself are in with this and talking to people in the industry, both independent and major, we see how this thing has to keep moving, you know, and you have to maintain your fan base. How many times have we seen an artist that was on a major label, you know, who was supposed to be the next one to blow, but they fumbled the ball, like a pro ball player on the 1 yard line for a touch, trying to score a touchdown, and they, you know, trying to get in the end zone, you know what I'm saying? But and then they never get back on that line of scrimmage.
You can't give up. You just got to keep going. You know what I mean? I mean, if you're a pro ball player and you fumble, hey, I'm quite sure that's not your first time. So, yo, you got to just put that behind you and keep going. If you stop, you know what I mean? Time don't wait for nobody. So, the attention span when it comes to music nowadays, people are on to the next hot thing just like that. So, you got to keep yourself relevant. So the thing is to make music and put it out there. You just got to keep putting music out there. I mean, you look at somebody like Drake. He used to put music out not back to back to back. So now that he's got the fan base, he can do what he want to do. Same thing with Jay. Same thing with Nas. You got to build that fan base. And I think that's the thing that these young boys have caught on to now, because they build that fan base. Instead of dropping albums, they just drop singles, hot singles that start to draw everybody in. You look at the Baby. He drops song right after song. He dropped to the point where he could drop an album. You know, those songs, like, yo, he realized that he had the momentum. Everybody was riding him with Suge, and he had the other joint. So it was like, okay, let's drop an album. So the album picked up traction. He was on to the next album already. He dropped the next album before the first album was pretty much even finished catching traction. But that consistency keeps you relevant. Because now look at him. He can do what he want to do. When they know he's going to drop an album, he's got a following. So they're going to be anticipating that. You know what I mean? Bush just dropped the album. You know what I mean? The mystic of when he was going to do it was perfect for now. So when he dropped it, look at the traction. And the album is sick.
Yeah. Shout out to Busta Bus, man. I mean, you know, and, you know, when to watch him on YouTube, you know, when, because he said, I think he got like 32 million streams on it, and Son was like really touched, like he was crying in a good way, because he was just, you know, because Busta's been in the game over 30 years, and he was just so touched that the fans, the hip hop fans out there, were just rocking with him, you know, and
he's a great bro. Like, when you think of Busta Rhymes and you think about the anthems year after year after year, we didn't get him for a little while.
Right.
So, you know, the anticipation, and then for him to come with the album the way he came with it was just like, yo, you couldn't deny it. I mean, if you look at the aspect of Busta Rhymes, who he is as far as an artist, they're still trying to figure out who's going to do a verses with him.
They still trying to figure it out.
So you got to think about that. They still trying to figure that out. I mean, verses are happening nonstop. You know what I mean? But if you think about that, who could, there's only a handful of artists that can do a verses. It's really not that many.
So when you think about, it's so crazy.
He can pick any type of 20 beats and he'll murder a lot of artists, bro. That's what I'm saying to you. So for him to be gone for that little bit of time and you not get any Busta Rhymes, and then for him to come back and you get that authentic Busta Rhymes with more new age stuff, to where it's like, yo, you got the whole Busta Rhymes catalog in this album. From the years of Busta Rhymes, you got all the different years in one album. So that's why the streams went so crazy, because every joint took you back to a certain time of Busta Rhymes. So, you know, the streams are gonna continue to go too, because he also put a lot of the new age artists, the new guard, you know, the new guard MCs, Kendrick, you know what I mean, Jordan Lucas. I mean, he went the old school way and put a lot of the old R&B acts on there. So when you look at that, yo, he gave you the best of every era of hip hop on one album.
And you know, Snooze, I don't think anybody has ever broken that down the way you just said it, in terms of the guest appearances, how he gave us all the eras from the old to the new and bridging that gap. We talk about this a lot on the show, and one thing that has always troubled us is that, you know, children of this culture, like King and myself, we love, we respect, we cherish the elders, no matter who they are. We have always had a problem, though, with people trying to tell, you know, the older elders they need to retire. And my thing is, hell, motherfucker, no, they don't need to retire. They're still great at it. You know, Jay-Z's going to be 51 this year. Nas is, what, 46? You know, E-40 is 51. Too Short is 53, I believe. And these dudes are still relevant. And some, because Jay hasn't dropped an album in like 5 years. You know, no shade, just fact, he hasn't dropped an album in 5 years. When he dropped 444, it was dope. But, I mean, you look at E-40 dropped him and Too Short did a collab album last year, and it was fire.
Mm-hmm.
Nas dropped an album last year. Unbelievable fire. You know, Busta, of course. You know, I mean, you know, these are individuals who are still doing, Ghostface, you know, is still doing it. I mean, these are individuals that are still doing this at a high level today. I mean, and shout out, because I'm a Griselda stan, shout out to Griselda, you know, Benny, Westside, you know, Conway. Cause
oh, hell yeah.
And they are,
well,
and these,
well,
guys, go ahead.
Not to cut you off, but you, like you said, shout out to Griselda and Conway. But they made it cool to be New York again. That's to a fan aspect, you know. The game has gotten commercialized to where everybody's doing, you know, what the music they do now, you know what I mean? And I have nothing against it. But, you know, when you look at the format of, like I said, MCing, not rapping, you know what I mean? We've gotten more accustomed to the rapping than MCing. So when you get those little joints that, you know, people, you get them here and there where you get the timeless music from an MC, it's great to hear that. You know what I mean? They're considered the greats. Like when they were coming up, like when the Nas's and the Jay were starting, you had the Jazzos, you had the Big Daddy Kane. They were the greats. You know what I'm saying? And they were the ones putting, you know, G-Rap did the song with Nas. You know what I mean? Because that was his idol. You know what I mean? In a sense,
right.
So when you look at that, You tend to realize, like, okay, but they make timeless music, bro. The content, it is relatable and it never gets old. So when you hear it, like, let's be real, you could throw on Big Pimpin' right now. A lot of the young cats might not jump to it, but those that's at least like 20, let's say 25 and up, that got older brothers and sisters, they gonna rock. Why? Because it's timeless music. I think Royce the 5'9" was saying something close to that in an interview about timeless music, and that's what makes you great. You know, everybody talk about being the GOAT, but like when you talk about an LL, who people say is the GOAT, he's got timeless music. Jay,
yeah,
timeless music. Nas, timeless. They got joint you could play at all times. People might hate, you know, one of my boys made a statement, you know, to me, and as much as I hate it, and I don't hate Will Smith, but Summertime is one of the hottest Summertime joints ever. Nobody has done anything better than that. But,
actually, Will,
you know, it's timeless music. You could play it every summer, and it's going to feel like it was brand new.
Yeah.
That's the difference in being a great.
And there's another underestimated summer jam that didn't get as much play, which is just as dope. It's an old, old track for my Chicago heads, especially because that's where these individuals are from. For our listeners out there, it was released in 1993. It's a song called It's a Summer Thing with M-Doc featuring Shantae Savage. That is the only song. That's the only song, and that came 2 years after Summertime did, of course. You know, because Will Smith dropped the Home Base album, him and Jazzy Jeff, that was on the Home Base album that came out in 91. But M-Doc, but that song, It's a Summer Thing, that is the only song that I have seen come close to capturing that carefree summertime energy. It's an underground jam.
Right.
Only my real heads are going to know about that. My real crate diggers, my real beat miners, only they're going to know about that. But you're right. But Summertime is like one of the greatest anthems ever. And, you know, what you said, Smooth, is just, it's so profound because when you're looking at over 40 years of hip hop music, you know, and even going back 60, if you look at James Brown, who a lot of people feel like really laid down the foundation of it with the rhythms and the cadence, you know, and the ad-libs, you're looking at music that transcends. I mean, when we look at albums, De La Soul's 1989, 3 Feet High Rising. You know, when you look at, you know, 1986, Air B and Rakim, Paid in Full. You know, when you look at Ice-T, you know, Ryan Pace, I believe that was, what, 1988. You know, Ice Cube, Death Certificate, 1991, Snoop Dogg, Doggy Style, 1992. I mean, the list goes on. Nas is Illmatic, 94, Big, 1994. You know, Jay, Reasonable Doubt, 1996. I mean, Raekwon, 1995. I'm going to get ahead of myself. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about albums that were not only classic, but culture defining. And we've seen a lot of new artists come in over the years, but a lot of them, while they may have had success at a certain level of notoriety, they failed to make that dent where that album became a defining piece.
Classic.
That really, yeah, exactly. Classic that really, really, really
defined culture with it. I think that comes with trying to, a lot of artists compete with the norm. All right, and that comes from, you know, those that go to the label and those that want to deal with, you know, promoters and everything. It's more, can you sound like this? Hey, we want you to sound like this artist. Or we want, yo, we better, like you make a song like this. And you tend to now become the norm of what's, you know, prime example. You know, I hate to do this to my man, but, you know, Gorilla Zoe, the dude, you know, he sounded like Biggie. You know what I mean? And he has some dope music, but sounding like Biggie kind of hindered his career. And I don't think he purposely did it. I think that was just who he is as an artist. But then when you get a Biggie Smalls and you're competing with a Biggie Smalls compared to a Gorilla Zoe, that now people tend to lean towards what they are used to, accustomed hearing. You know what I mean? They'll take that over that. So then you get like a Young Thug and a Weezy. You know what I mean? Baby at one time had Young Thug and Weezy on the label. But Wayne wasn't making no music, but Young Thug was. But when it came out, it sounded similar to Weezy. Young Thug is who he is, and he makes great music. But you were missing that Weezy sound, and then you got Young Thug, which was similar. So you tend to lean towards what was similar, you know?
Right. And
so,
even
Thug, it's not a disrespect to anybody.
Right.
It's not a disrespect to anybody. It's just part of the business. You know what I mean? People want you to sound like what they know is selling right there. So the thing is, all right, if you make this song, we can market you this way. But my thing is, you should be able to market and know who you are as an artist and know what you're going to do and what's not, what you're not going to do and what's going to fit your brand and what's not. And that's how you determine, you know, sometimes you might not get a bunch of fans on that one go around because they was expecting that type of music or that type of, you know, collab. But they'll catch on eventually. And if not, hopefully you'll make something down the road for those that didn't catch on. But it's all about a vibe for me. So at the time, what I'm vibing is what I'm making. And, you know, I'm not trying to do what everybody's doing. I'm just making music that I like to make, that I feel represents me. And hopefully, you know, when I put it out, the fans like it and people start to enjoy it. You know, that's the point of putting it out there. But you're not going to know if you don't put it out. So whatever you make, put it out there. Only way you're going to know is if they like it, is if you put it out. And then you'll see from there what's what. And I think that's how you'll be able to formulate your albums. So the best thing to do is run with singles. Get the following. Build your following with the singles, the visuals. And then once you do that, you'll be able to make an album and make some money.
Definitely, definitely.
Now, you have any projects coming out this year?
I'm putting out singles. We have The Old Lord out right now on all major platforms, you know, saying Phantom Music and Who Mag presents, you know what I mean? We got the joint Old Lord produced by Slizzo from Phantom of the Beat. And we got that on all major platforms streaming now. But we got the visuals coming for that in a couple weeks, and then we'll be moving on to, you know, getting some other visuals done for some other singles that we're going to start releasing soon. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to build up a following and give the people some good music, and then, you know, from there we'll start trying to formulate what we're going to do as far as an album and everything. But I'm just giving people good music right now and putting it out there.
Understood. Yeah, man. I mean, look, it's something where, you know, it's great to just see the work ethic that you're exhibiting, and, you know, just committing yourself to really putting out dope product, man. You know, and really, you know, like you said, just staying consistent and feeding the masses. You know, one thing about it, you know, in terms of an album, you know, I tell any artist, you know, when you're write the album when you're ready. If you just want to release songs, just release songs. But an album is something that has to be cohesive, and it really has to take time to put together. But if you really are locked in to do it, it definitely is going to be a great example of what you're capable of. No two ways about it.
I mean, I have an album out on that piff. It's like a mixtape. I'm giving,
right.
You know, it's free downloads. You know, you play the Where the Paper At. You know, that's on YouTube. But I got other music on Reverb Nation. Like, I basically tell everybody, just Google Snooze Daily. They can find music anywhere. You know what I mean? I have free music that's able to stream. I have free music they can download. And we're putting out new music now. You know what I mean? I'm just starting to get some visuals done. And I got a whole lot of hot music to come, man. You know what I mean? We just trying to get it in, get it ready for the people so they don't have to wait too long for when the music drops. They'll have the visuals and they can enjoy. You know what I mean? I'm right now, I know it's a business, but I'm having fun. I'm repping for my man Val, who got me started in the game, you know what I mean? And unfortunately, he passed away 3 years, almost 4 years ago now. So I'm just repping for him. He got me started in the game. He basically taught me and gave me the know-how how to be an MC. And, since he passed, it was like, at one point I felt like, I'm not doing this no more. It's over. But then there was a part of me like, you can't quit. Like, you got to pick up and feel, take off where he left and keep going. So that's what I'm doing now. So, and I'm having more fun with it now. It's more fun. It's more therapeutic for the mind and, life and the body. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just enjoying myself and making good music for the people and just enjoying rocking out with my team as we, all take this journey to see what happens with this music.
Most def, man, and we definitely gonna be team to ride it out with you, man, and keep us putting out that persistent work. We're gonna be on follow up. I done followed you on IG, so we definitely get to keep an eye.
I got some news. Yo, I'm gonna tell you like this. I got you on IG, so what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna just tell you, text me your email, so that way. I'm gonna create a nice little email so when I start dropping the joints, I can start sending it to y'all, and y'all could just do y'all things. You know what I mean? And give the people what they want to hear, some good New York hip hop music.
For sure, man. And before we sign out, man, do you have any shout outs you want to give out?
Yeah, definitely. I want to shout y'all out, definitely, for having me. You know what I mean? Shout out to RMG Studios. Shout out to Phantom of the Beat. Shout out, MJ, for definitely holding me down and making this possible. Shout out to my brother Gogo Zella, my boy Biz Beats. You know what I mean? And just shout out my fam, my family for, definitely holding me down through all this journey. And shout out to everybody that's out there that's definitely supporting me and on this ride with me, man. I appreciate it, and I guarantee you there's going to be some more music to come.
Man, well, we appreciate you so much, News. We're going to make sure everybody stay awake for what you got. Like I said, man, you're welcome back on the show anytime. We appreciate you so much, and thank you for your time, your wisdom, and your insight, man. Thank you.
Yo, anytime, man. I definitely appreciate you guys, And if they don't know, they'll know soon when On the Cuff Radio and Smooth Daily. Hopefully when things get better, we can start connecting when, the traveling and this whole pandemic things get better. So,
Definitely
appreciate you for having me. And, yo, man, like I always tell everybody, thank you, thank you for having me. And if you need me, just a phone call away or, a text away, Snooze is there. Any charity events, whatever we doing, I'm definitely there, definitely, willing to help and play my part.
Definitely, man.
So on that note, man, we're going to be up out of here. Check us out this Sunday morning. We're going to have Thurston Howell III on. We're going to still keep this bird soaring in the sky.
Yep. All right.
We out.
All right.